Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm reading from Matthew chapter 9. We read in verse 2, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the man sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now I've entitled this message, Six Reasons to Be of Good Cheer. Now these are reasons the Lord Jesus Christ gives to be of good cheer, and that's what makes them valid. If a mere man said be of good cheer, you might not have a reason to be of good cheer. I remember that song that was out years ago, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Well, that doesn't really give you a reason to not worry and be happy just because someone says that, but these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, be of good cheer. And he gives a well-grounded reason to be of good cheer. Now, these words, be of good cheer, cannot be said indiscriminately to all men. I could not say to everybody, be of good cheer. Now, it could be that you're very wealthy and have plenty of money in the bank. And you're also healthy. You don't have any health problems. And your relatives and loved ones don't have any health problems. And you don't really have any conflict going on. Everybody's doing well. No conflict in your family. No conflict on the job. I mean, everything is going great, as far as you can tell. There's not very many people who would experience that, but I'm giving a hypothetical situation. Let's say everything is going great. I still would not have a reason to say, be of good cheer. You say, well, how do you say that? Well, it could be you're one of those people David speaks of when he speaks of the prosperity of the wicked. And he says regarding these people in this prosperous place where they're not having any troubles and any trials, he said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. It could be as a judgment of God. He's put you in a place where you're not calling on his name. You don't need him. Everything's going fine. Moses put it this way, in due time their foot shall slide. Now, just because everything on an outward basis is going well, I can't truly say to you, good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, there's a scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one or no thing if God's for us. But the opposite is true as well. If God is against us, who can be for us? Now somebody thinks, is God against anybody? Well, the scripture says, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And the scripture says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind hates God. That person is God's enemy. And if I'm outside of Christ, I have God for an enemy unless he's pleased to save me and reveal himself to me. And if God is against you, who can be for you. And no unbeliever has a valid ground to be of good cheer. But listen to this. Every believer, every Christian has a valid reason to be of good cheer, regardless of the circumstances, all the time. Let me repeat that. Every believer, every Christian, everyone that God has saved, without exception, has a valid reason to be of good cheer all the time without respect to the circumstances. Now, it's my prayer that every believer listening to this message will, after this message, be of good cheer. And it's my prayer that every unbeliever, God will make you a believer as you hear this message, and it will cause you to be of good cheer. Wouldn't it be a blessing of grace if we can have a good cheer that comes from Christ Himself? Be of good cheer. Now, here are six reasons that the believer has, every believer has, to be of good cheer. And the first one is found in the verse of Scripture that I just read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. The Lord looks at this man that his friends have brought him in. He's lying on a bed, and the Lord says to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Thy sins. Do you have sins? Sins of omission? Sins of commission? Secret sins? Repeated sins? Continual sins? Do you have sins? Listen to what this man hears from the Lord. "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, this word "forgiven" is in the perfect tense and the passive voice. Now, what does that mean? That means all your sins have perfectly, completely been forgiven, even the ones you haven't committed yet. They've all been forgiven. And it's in the passive voice, or you didn't do anything to get this. You're not forgiven because of anything you did. You're forgiven because He forgave you. Now, this man found out that his sins were forgiven. "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, most people think that forgiveness is the end of an equation. If you're sorry for your sin, real sorry, and if you turn from that sin, and if you do not commit that sin anymore and give a sincere effort against committing that sin, and you believe the gospel, you will be forgiven of that sin. Not so. That's not the way it works. All that is a form of salvation by works. Your forgiveness is at the end of you doing this, that, and the other. That is not how forgiveness works. It's just not true. The believer's salvation does not end in the forgiveness of sins after he checks in all the boxes that he's supposed to do in order to achieve that forgiveness. This man didn't do anything for this forgiveness. He found out he was forgiven. You see, the believer begins in his salvation. It begins with the complete, full forgiveness of all their sins. That's where it begins. That's not where it ends. That is where it begins. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And understand this about God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is not like our forgiveness. When God forgives, He forgets. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Now, if I sin against you, and if I offend you, I hope you'll forgive me, and perhaps you will forgive me. And really, we ought to be quick to forgive each other, shouldn't we? Without any question about it. I heard someone say just this week concerning one of their relatives, I'll never forgive them. And I thought, well, better not sin then, because if you won't forgive, you won't be forgiven either. The Lord made that real clear. But understand this, with our forgiveness, we cannot forget. We may even hold that person suspect. We forgive them, but we can't really trust them at this point because they've lost our trust, because they've sinned against us. We forgive. We genuinely forgive. But we don't forget. It's somewhere underneath the layers of our subconscious. We remember something. We might forget it temporarily, but it can come back up. We forgive, but we don't forget. You see, justice hadn't been done. But when God forgives, He forgets. Now, how is that? God's got a good memory. How can God forget? Because there's nothing there to remember. It's called justification. You remember that publican beating on his breast, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What did Jesus Christ the Lord say of this man? He went down to his house justified. Now, if you're justified, that means you don't have anything to be guilty of. You're not guilty. You stand before God's law without sin. You stand before God perfectly righteous. The law looks you over and says, I find no fault in him. He's perfect. Now, somebody says, how in the world can that be? Because Christ bore my sin. I'm not forgiven because I ask for forgiveness. I'm not forgiven because I'm sorry. I'm not forgiven because I promised to never commit that sin again. I'm forgiven because that sin was borne by Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. And He put that sin away. He gave me His perfect righteousness. And when God remembers my sins no more, it's because there's nothing there to remember. What's in? It's gone. Every believer stands just before God. It's what the Bible calls justification. Believer, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee, because they are blotted out. They're canceled. They are no more. Now, the next reason is found in this same chapter, Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Now, there was a woman who had an issue of blood, and she'd had it for 12 long years, a menstrual disease, and she was anemic. She'd sought many doctors, and they didn't help her, but she rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she found out who He really was. And we read in verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when He saw her, He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. It's the same word. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, what was her faith? Well, we're told in the previous verse. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. You see, her faith was in a glorious Savior that was such that if she somehow came into contact with Him, she's going to be whole. Not because of anything in her, but because of the greatness of the Savior. Now, thy faith, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let me say some things about my faith. My faith, it's the gift of God. It didn't come as an act of my free will. It's the gift of God, but I've got faith. You know, He said to that lady, thy faith hath made thee whole. Every believer has faith. It's my faith. God gave it to me, but it's my faith. But let me tell you what my faith is. My faith looks to Christ only for everything God requires of me. That's my faith. When Christ stood as my surety before time began, He took full responsibility for my salvation. He said to His Father, everything you require of Him, you look to me for. And He came in time and kept the law for me. And my sin was given to Him, and He died for me and put away my sin. And He was raised from the dead because He completely satisfied God in that sin payment. And God said, I can ask no more. God is satisfied with what Jesus Christ did, and He's satisfied with me. And I believe that He is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, it's not the act of my faith that saves me. It's Christ that saves me. And I believe that. Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, in the next verse of Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 14. The disciples are on a ship. A storm comes. The water rushes into the ship. It's tossed on the waves. The wind was contrary. And the Lord was sleeping. He was sleeping. He wasn't worried. And the disciples are scared to death. The waves are contrary. Now let's read in verse 25. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Somebody says, did He really do that? Yes, He did. You see, He's the Lord of the laws of physics, and He can suspend them whenever He's pleased to do so. And He was walking on the sea toward them. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus straightway spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now they're scared to death. The wind's contrary to them. They're being tossed about. They fear for their lives. It's a horrible time. It's a horrible trial. Be of good cheer. It's I. Do you know that's true with regard to everything in every believer's life? The doctor comes in and says, you've got cancer. The Lord says, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. There's only one reason you have cancer, because I purposed it for my glory and you're good. Now, when you hear a preacher talking about God's will is for you to be healthy and wealthy and wise, run. That man's a false prophet that doesn't know God from a goat. Don't listen to anybody like that. With regard to everything, the Lord says to His children, with whatever it is, in the boat, the wind's contrary, losing everything, whatever trial it is, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. Now somebody says, how can you say something like that? Well, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so, believer, whatever is going on in your life, no matter how difficult it might be, remember, Christ says, be of good cheer. It's I. I am in control of this. I am the cause of it. I'm using it for my glory and your good. Everything I bring your way is for your eternal good. Now, every believer has a reason to be of good cheer. Now, this is not some kind of giddy happiness. I can't stand being around people when they act happy when they're not happy. When it's just a, I mean, in a sense, I'd rather somebody be nice and be, you know, when you, how you doing? Well, I'm going to tell you all about my problems. And well, I wish I hadn't asked you if you're going to do that. You know, sometimes that's kind of the way people are sometimes. But still, the fact of the matter is, no matter what happens, every believer has every reason to be of good cheer because it is the Lord's work. And then we read in Mark chapter 10. I love this passage of Scripture. It's Bartimaeus. The Lord has stood still as he cried for mercy, and they said, "Rise, be of good cheer. He calleth thee." Rise, be of good cheer. He calleth thee. Now, I'm thankful if he called you, but I need him to call me. Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. He calleth his own sheep by name. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I must abide at your house. Matthew, follow me. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. Now, the Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you respond to the name sinner? He came to save sinners. He came to call sinners. A sinner is somebody who all he does is sin. He cannot not sin. He can't look down his nose at anybody. He has no claims on God, and all of his sin is his fault. How do you respond to sinner? If you respond, that's me, he is calling you. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you're a sinner, he came to call you. And then we read in John chapter 16, verse 29, his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? You're talking awful big right now. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. You know, all the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples denied any connection with him. They were gone. He had none of them helping him. He had none of them saying, Oh, we love you for doing this for us. No, they forsook him and fled in fear, trying to save their own lives. You're talking about the greatness of your faith and how you believe now. Well, you're going to leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Not in your works, not in your faithfulness, not in your strength, in me. That's the only peace there is. He was manifest to take away our sins. In him is no sins. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. You're going to be knocked back and forth. You're going to have one trial after another. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. We say that to every believer. He's already won for you. It is finished. The victory is yours. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world, and you're in him. Now, the last one I would like to consider is where Paul is in jail. And we read in verse 10, and when there, Acts 23, verse 10, And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. Now let me give you the setting. Paul had used some very fleshly, manipulating ways to try to get out of trouble at this time. You say, would Paul do something like that? Well, would you? Would I? Yes, Paul would. He is seeing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who hated each other, were both against him, so he tries to pit one against the other. And he says, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and for the hope of the resurrection I'm called. He didn't say I'm a Christian or a follower of Christ. He said I'm a Pharisee, because he knew the Pharisees believed in the resurrection and the Sadducees didn't. And he thought maybe he could be helped by the Pharisees when he said he believed in the resurrection. And a fight ensued between the Pharisees and the Sadducees because of this. And Paul is still brought into jail. And Paul, I believe, at that time was just distraught over how he had handled that situation. The Lord wouldn't have said, be of good cheer, unless he was in depression. I believe Paul was in this jail thinking, it's over for me, I'll never be used again. Lord's finished with me. And the Lord said to his servant while he was in jail, be of good cheer, Paul. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm going to have you testify of me in Rome. And there's a reason for every believer to be of good cheer. The Lord's not finished with you yet. He's going to use you for His glory and the accomplishment of His purpose and the glory of His dear Son. You wouldn't be here still if He wasn't going to do that. Now be of good cheer. You have every reason to be of good cheer. The Lord's not finished with you yet. Now here are six reasons to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. All of them. Your faith has made you whole. Everything in your life, the Lord says, it's I. Be of good cheer. I'm in control of it. He calls you personally. If you're a sinner, if you can go by that name, He calls you personally. We're not talking about Him calling somebody else. I love that hymn, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Be of good cheer because He's overcome the world, and be of good cheer because He's not through with you yet, just like He wasn't with His servant Paul. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.